The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, let us say hello to the former UFC middleweight champion, Luke Rockhold, kind enough to join us. He's part of something pretty cool as far as ways to engage with fans. I believe he even helped put some fans in position to win some money this past Saturday at UFC 264. We'll get that information right now with Mr. Luke Rockhold himself. Luke, how are you, man? Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm, well, working hard with no dance partner, but we're still here.
All right, we'll get into that in a moment, but it is great to have you here. First off, yourself, I know Daniel Cormier is involved with this as well in the UFC. You're teaming up with Versus Game. You're hosting a variety of games. I think you may have been doing something during UFC 264. Is that true? And if so, what did you do? What is the role that you have in this?
Versus Game, you know, it's a interesting platform. It's got a lot of like great people behind it, and it's just fun. It's like you give people an opportunity to be right about something. It's basically just like you creating a platform, creating different games within games, not just like the fight itself, but like, you know, just fun stuff in between and outside of fights. It can go any realm, any sport, and it's cool. It's a little interactive way for the fans to play and make some money, and we can all have some fun with it.
Yeah, and everybody likes to be right, and they can get paid in being right. So that's like double-edged sword right there. And I know like fantasy sports and betting on fights has become massive over the last few years, and it's growing more and more now in the MMA. And what, like specifically, if you can maybe throw in an example or two, makes this different? Like what sort of makes this stick out compared to some of those other sites and makes this more exciting rather than just say, here's $20 to throw on this fighter to win this fight?
I'd say just the variety, and I think it's basically off people you like and you respect, and you want to play their games. So it's like, you know, if you want to play off my platform, I'm going to create different games that'll be fun for you to interactively play with, not just some bookie like setting the tone and not setting the odds against you. You know what I mean? We're setting the odds for you rather than setting the odds against you. You play the house. You play this gambling game, the odds are always set in their favor. This is why it's interesting, because it's just we're giving you an opportunity to be right, and there's no odds that are stacked against you in any way, shape, or form. It's just going to be, you know, a clear, straight up opportunity to make your money and have fun with it too.
Yeah, the options seem to be endless, and of course, all eyes were on Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor this past Saturday, the main event, the trilogy fight. At least it was supposed to be the final chapter between these two guys. Did you watch the fight? Did you watch 264? And if so, what did you think of the whole thing?
Yeah, I did. I gave that. My bet was the over-under on 3 rounds. And I assumed, I can't give my exact opinion, but I was assuming it would go earlier than that. So, like it did. I mean, no one can predict a freaking him, Conor breaking his ankle. I'm not even sure where it snapped. It snapped right at the ankle.
They said it was a clean break of his tibia.
Tibia, oh, like right above.
Yeah.
So it was actually snapped. Yeah. I mean, it was, I was surprised that Connor would, like, you know, waste that. Maybe he jumped to the guillotine because it was already, like, hurt his leg beforehand. And so something was wrong, and we went to that angle. But, you know, Dustin came in and wrestled and then put him on his back, and Connor didn't, you know, he's got to learn how to get up. So that's the game. But you never know, like, he can come back and reset, but he didn't. And his ankle broke, his tibia broke, and that's the fight game, man. You can't predict anything like that. This stuff that happens.
Yeah, it was just kind of a brutal thing to watch, and you know, there's all these different angles. I know Coach Eric Nixick, like, put out a video. He said that his mom texted him at 7 o'clock Monday morning and said, "Hey, Eric, I think I know how Connor broke his leg. Like, he threw a kick when he got back to his feet in the final seconds of the first round, and Poirier blocked it with his elbow, and then he stepped back after they both missed punches, and that's when the ankle broke." So it's just so weird because we don't really know, but there's all these different examples where it could have happened. So I don't know what you kind of got from that.
I mean, there's no way his brace, tibia breaks just from the elbow like that, from that little kick. I saw the little blurb of it, but obviously it was checked hard and it was ready to go, and then it broke through. I mean, it's kind of like why I held back on my kicks. My first kick with Yoel Romero, it fractured my leg. And so my leg was cracked. I knew it was compromised, and I had to work around it. I couldn't kick more, as like anybody knew. I knew I was being effective, but my leg was falling apart. I knew something was wrong, but yeah, I don't know. I kept trying to kick a little bit, but obviously something happened before with Poirier acknowledging that. And I think he checked him really hard, and I think it was fractured. And then it was just that elbow kick, the little thing, kind of like just put it over the top.
While I have you here, like, can I just get your take on the aftermath of the whole situation? Because there's two sides to the fence. There's people who feel like Connor was out of line with the things that he's been saying. Then there's, like, Ronda Rousey came out and said, you know, Connor's just, he's being brilliant. He's planting the seeds for the fourth fight. Like, he's hurt and he breaks his leg, but he's on the ground. He's already planting seeds for the next fight. What did you think of the aftermath, the post-fight stuff, all the comments, so forth and so on?
Fucking, it's Connor, man. He's a he's a promoting genius, you know. And the world is there's a lot of fucking people that want to see him win. A lot of people want to see him lose. He's doing it right. Whatever he's doing something right. So, I mean, good on him.
Fair enough. And when you saw, like, the hype for this event, and you know, it's been almost 2 years to the day since we've last seen you compete. And you talked about earlier how you're just sitting here, you're getting ready, you're getting in shape, you're getting prepared for a fight, but you don't have a dance partner. When you watch an event like that, like, do you feel the FOMO at all? Like, I know you're looking to get back in there as soon as possible. Did that fight week enhance that feeling to come back even more?
It feels good to see that the world come back, you know, and filling up an arena and getting that energy back into the game. It's like, really, you know, that's what the sparks, you know, us that want to thrive under that spotlight, you know. And that's what it's all about, fighting in a you know, empty arena. It just doesn't sound as cool and doesn't feel like the same way. Like, I mean, you're watching fights through the pandemic and it's just like there's nothing there, you can't even feel it. And now it's definitely a different feeling, and everything is coming back to full fruition, and it's more exciting to come back, especially when you're just getting healthy too. Finally getting my health back, getting my freedom of movement, and all of it. Yeah, it all adds up to it. I'm fucking ready.
How would you, I guess, you compare, like, the way you feel now? What was that? Say that one more time. Sorry.
I'm going to make me feel good and ready about it too. You know what I mean? It's like not just it's the dance partner too. I need a fucking the right dance partner.
There you go. And in terms of, like, how you feel physically, like, how good do you feel? Like, if you can compare it to, like, other points in your career when, you know, you were winning world titles and things like that. Is this, like, can you say this is, like, one of the best times you felt physically as an MMA fighter, or have you felt better at other times?
I mean, I'm 36 years old. I mean, my body hurts a little bit here and there, for sure. Not like it used to be, but athletically and technically and mentally, yes. I feel sharp. I feel ready. I feel like I've been able to, like, be more present. Sometimes throughout the careers, you allow the pressure and the different things to kind of weigh on you. And right now, I just feel so clear-headed and just in a good space where I'm ready to come back. And I can assert myself and I can do what I know I can do, then give me the fucking dance partner to prove that, or not, whatever. I don't care. I mean, it's like, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do what I do. And so let me prove myself right, or let people want to fucking try to prove me wrong. But someone's got to step up and fucking do it.
What do you mean by, like, I know from there's been previous reports and it hasn't been from like a lack of effort on your part from the things that I have read to get back in there. But there's one report about Khamzat Chimaev turning down a fight. Now he's fighting Li Jingliang. What happened there from your perspective? Like, was there an actual offer for you to fight Khamzat, but then you just realized he wanted to stay at 170? What, was it as simple as that? Like, can you talk about that from your perspective?
Well, I was looking at 85 pounders in the middle, like, you know, that at top 10 ranked guys. I wanted guys, solid guys. I mean, Uriah Hall went the other way, chose a different guy. I know our management talked with Kevin Holland, and he actually reached out to me. He's the only guy who reached out to me personally and said, who thought it, Ducky, they DM'd me, and the guy jumped in. I was like, nah, I don't know. Your manager talked and didn't sound like that was the direction they want to go. He's like, no, let me handle my business, and you know, I'll step up, we'll do my thing. That guy is, you know, respect that from him. He's a man. I was worried he's the only guy that I could assume that wanted something that's interesting. So we'll see if that comes later to fruition. But I know Jack Hermanson didn't want it. I know a lot of guys in the division, just in that top rank, didn't want it. They threw Chimaev at me just out of nowhere because I didn't see it coming. I didn't even really think about it. And I was like, fuck, I just kind of got a little interested about it. The kid's been talking up a big game thing and beat everybody and anybody and any time. And I like to take the hype. I heard good things from the inside too. I heard the kid's real tough. So it's the, let's see what it's all about. I love that. Like, taking that, or he can prove himself right. But they offered me a date. They offered me like August 7th, and I was like, I was just a little pressed for time, and I was like, but I was like, okay. I was like, let's fucking, you know, let's do it. And then they wanted to push it back to a main event on August 28th, and I got really excited. I was like, fuck, let's go, 100%. I thought it was done because they kept giving me like multiple dates, and then he just went silent. I guess he wants to stay at 170. Yeah, something like that, man.
Has there, since then, has there been other fights presented to you at all, but it's just hasn't been that appealing to you, or is it just, it's been crickets at this point?
No, nothing there since. I think everything's, they're waiting on this fight to obviously done. Get over with Connor and Poirier. Was a big thing. So like, once you get past that this week, hopefully we get some more traction. Hopefully something pops up. Hopefully someone sacks up.
So right now you're in the same spot you've been in for the last several months. You're waiting for a fight. You're skateboarding. You're training. You're sparring with freaking Michael Bisping, something no one ever thought we'd ever see, and just waiting for that phone to ring. So you're in the same spot, man. Like, life has changed immensely for you since you've last fought, right?
Oh yeah, it's huge. It's great. life is great, man. I'm enjoying it. I think everything's meant to be. Everything will happen when it's time. So I just roll with it.
Do you feel like your fight's going to be with somebody outside of the top 15 at this point, with the way things are scheduled and booked and the way things look right now, the landscape of this division?
I don't know. I mean, if it's Chimaev, he's outside of 15. I ain't gonna take anything that doesn't excite me. I'm not just going to step up and fight someone that excites me, doesn't excite my fans. It's like, there's no point to them doing that. I've been Strikeforce champ. I've been UFC world champ. I don't need to come back and fight some bum. That doesn't fucking get me excited. I'd rather just not come back. If you want me to fight, give me something that excites me. Give me something that excites my fans, my people, and all of us. That's like, otherwise, fuck off and let me go, because I ain't going to fucking do that.
Is Chimaev at the top of the list right now? Like, if you had a choice with what's realistic? No,
Someone's fun. Someone's exciting. That's like, I mean, if they are outside the top 10, they got to be fucking, you know, they got to be something that gives me like some interest. Somebody's got fucking personality. Someone's got hype. Someone's got fucking someone that gets me out of fucking bed. I'm not going to wake up for some fucking chump who doesn't do anything for me and get out of bed and work my ass off. I'm fucking 36 years old. I've achieved those heights, and it's like, I want something that gets me excited. I believe that I'm still one of the best guys in the world, and I came from the number two spot in the world. I lost a world title fight to Yoel Romero. None of these motherfuckers in the top 10 would fight Yoel Romero, you know? even at, in his heyday. I fucking lost a world title fight, and I stepped away from the division. I'm not coming back and fighting some bum.
Are you surprised that you haven't booked anything? Like, when you hit, when people heard that you were coming back, like, we thought this is a no-brainer. Like, anybody who got offered your name, you, I would think they would say yes and jump on it because former world champion, you got a following.
Ranked, and everyone's fucking thinks they're, like, entitled to this fucking position and their ranking. It's all fucking bullshit.
They don't really mean that much anyways in the grand scheme of things.
It don't mean anything. Fuck off. Hey, I, if you want to talk about ranking, I'm still, fuck what, I come back, I'm still number two. Fuck off. Fucking, what the fuck is a ranking? I just, like, I want someone who's got fucking, you know, who makes sense, who gets me excited, like I said. It's not just about the ranking, but, you know, a little bit.
So, Paul... I mean, I think those fights are coming up in the fall, so you're willing to wait to see how, like, the Holland fight goes.
Honestly, I think a lot of these guys are going to fucking run away from my position because they know that when I'm on, but I think I'm going to fall and just start training hard, start working for it, and then, you know, one of those fights are going to fall apart, and one of these guys is just going to have, I'm going to step in, and they're going to have to sack up because that's the way the game works.
How's the golf game been?
It's getting better and better.
You definitely like from the MMA fighters that I've seen swing the sticks, you definitely have the more, I guess, pure, more professional swing. Like look at DC's swing. Like, we've seen it. He's been successful at almost everything he does. But, like, if you and DC had, like, a golf match, like, what would be, like, the spread? Like, 5-10 strokes or more on your side? Like, how would that go?
5 strokes? Come on. Have you seen his swing?
Sometimes the swing doesn't matter, man. It's about putting the ball in the hole.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't matter. DC, you know, every blind squirrel can find a nut, for sure. I love getting out there with DC. He's trying hard. But, you know, I'm thinking like 15, 20 maybe.
Oh, that bad, huh? Wow.
I'm in the, you know, if I'm trying, I'm in the mid-80s.
All right, that's pretty good.
70s. Back in the day when I was golfing more, but I can get low 80s pretty consistently.
Is he in the triple digits consistently, or is he in the 90s now? Has he gotten that point?
Depends on if we're giving him 4-foot putts, you know.
Okay. if we're giving the gimmies.
Four foot putts and mulligans that we're just not counting on anyway.
take another one, DC. Take another mully, my man. Hey. Get back. Oh, man. Well, Luke, I appreciate you giving me some time today. You seem to be taking things in stride as best as you can. I can tell you're ready to get back in there. It's just, you're not just going to jump back in there for anything. You want the right fight and the right dance partner, and I can see where you're coming from. So, but if you're watching right now, you can join Luke in his whatever game he's going to be putting together on the Versus Game app for upcoming UFC events. I know UFC 265 is coming up on August 7th. What do you got? You got a game coming up that you could plug?
The
August 7th one?
I'm excited for the football season to come back around.
Oh, yeah.
Those all sounds a little fun, little. And, you know, I got some insight on a lot of things, so we can play, we can diversify a bit through that. Who's the next UFC fight?
This weekend is Islam Makhachev and Thiago Moises, but the next pay per view is August 7th. So that's Derek Lewis and Cyril Gane for the interim heavyweight title.
Yeah. Interim heavyweight title. Don't get me started on that one.
Oh, go ahead. Get started. No. Why?
Because I'm going to secure a good fight. Okay. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Nothing makes a lot of sense right now, but that. We're just going to. I'll see you later.
Oh, good. Well, join Luke on Versus Game, and you can play him and see what he thinks of the interim title fight and other games he can be putting together for the football season. True or false, Tampa Bay wins the Super Bowl again this coming season?
All signs point to yes, I would assume right now. It looks pretty good for him. We'll see. Boston boys.
That's right. You still
hurt a little bit? I just trained with your boy Julian this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
How's he doing post-retirement?
He's doing some things. He's got a lot of things in the works. He's working.
Yeah, he's good. He's
yeah.
I mean, he's that
you
one
won't,
hurt.
You won't see him in Tampa Bay, so I don't want to break your heart. You know.
Listen, it is what it is. You know, sometimes like you get to a certain age, Luke. You're 36. I'm older than you, so I mean, sometimes you have to kind of deal with your priorities and put them in different places. And you know, it hurt to see Tom go, but guy's winning rings still, and he's going to be back at Foxborough later on this season, and he'll probably kick our asses, and you just got to deal with it.
It's not looking good for you guys this year.
Oh, come on. Cam Newton, dude? No faith in Cam? That's all you need to say. Thanks, man.
See you later.
See you later, man.
Catching up,
later.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.